This is a war story, and I don't think you've talked about this. Six men going on patrol.
We were coming on it in the mountains, coming up a hill, got to the trail. And then when it's wet, and you come to a two-foot-wide trail, and it's hard packed, there's a lot of people going down that trail, you know. And so we're coming up. We get up on the trail, and there's a little stream going across it, and there's a wet footprint on a rock. Well, you know, it's pretty imminent right then. So I took my team, had them go up trail a little, up the hill a little bit. And this is heavy jungle. And I got down on that trail and did everything I could to disguise that we had been on it. But so I went up and sat up straight up above the trail, and this indigenous, they call them mountain yards, indigenous person came walking down the trail, and he had a crossbow in his hand and an AK strung across his back. And he hesitated right where we went off the trail. I knew. He knew. The jungle is so heavy, we're heavily camouflaged. He was smart enough to just kind of see where we went off, but kept going. And a few minutes later, I hear the Vietnamese talk, they're coming back down the trail. And he's got what I think were probably a platoon leader and a platoon sergeant with him to show him where we went off the trail. And not thinking that we would still be there. They're looking where we went off the trail, and this platoon leader, and this is a thing that I live with every day, he looked up at me. Our eyes met. He got through the jungle and could see me. And of course, I could see him through a gun sight. And I shot him right here. Right between the eyes, and just made a little spot, you know. But there was a second there, John, a split second that he was dead. He was alive, but he knew he was dead. And there's a look in his face. I see him. That look.
Does it haunt you?
It doesn't haunt me because I know I could have been in that same situation. And, you know, if you're a good soldier, you're killing good soldiers. And by the end of the war, that was, you know, I was a good soldier. That had an effect on me. When we shot him, we shot the little mountain yard, we shot him and another guy. I had another guy standing right, sitting right with me. They were just in our sights, you know, no way to avoid being killed. I got to move my team up the hill and get the hell out of there, they had us flanked. Just inadvertently, they were in a perfect ambush position. All of a sudden, just wave of green tracers we got a little berm, just a little berm between us, and I got these two new guys, and I have them set back toward the back. You know, I had kind of, before we went out, explained this, and I said, the main thing you got to do in a firefight is not shoot me. You know, you'll be behind me. I said, don't get excited and shoot me. So, you know. And being real serious. Anyway, we are flanked. And I got my radio man down trying to get some gunships in there to get these people off of us. And I'm holding up over this berm and this Ray Clark. And Ray was my assistant team leader. And we'd been together a long time, but Ray had never shown any John Wayne type stuff. You know, he was very cautious. And didn't eat. If we went out for 5 days, he never ate. He was too nervous to eat. And he jumped up on that berm and started firing. Well, that's just, you're killing yourself. There's no way. You know, and those tracers are just going through him, and I'm thinking, God almighty. But he got about three magazines, maybe four out, and it suppressed their fire. And we got up the hill. Well, I grabbed Ray because I knew I was going to have to drag him. And I said, where are you hit, Ray? And his eyes were that big. And he said, I'm not. And he did not. The odds of that are phenomenal because they were right there and probably seven or eight guys firing heavily to a target 10 feet away.
Do we call that a miracle?
Yeah. You know, it has to be something.
Whatever happened to Ray?
Ray That was his last. He 2 days later, he was leaving Vietnam. I saw him in the 10 High Ray. See you later. And I, like I say, I looked for him. I've looked for him.
Oh, he's the one you've been looking for.
And, yeah. But see, he should have got.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put him in, but he was, I would have put him in. I would have defied all the team leaders. But he was gone. And I'd love to find Ray. He was a black guy. Real refined. He had been the New York State fencing champion when he was in high school. Just a really interesting guy who thought Okies were Okies. You know, the whole time I was in there, we constantly ran into the Vietnamese being outfitted in American stuff. Like they'd have, we had, when we first got to Vietnam, we were authorized a special uniform, a special camouflage. It was Woodland, and that was the first time Woodland camouflage had been rendered. But we couldn't get them. But we were killing North Vietnamese that had them on. Our supply sergeants were selling them downtown, and then the people, the Vietnamese, or the supply sergeants directly, were selling them to the North Vietnamese or the Viet Cong. We had that happen. We had a shipment of, we were authorized because we were a long-range patrol team. Each team leader, myself, was authorized a little PEN-EE half-frame camera. And our supply sergeant got caught selling 200 of them to a guy downtown. And you just introduce money into anything and not much oversight. In Clinton, Oklahoma, they made jungle boots for a while. It was kind of discerning to shoot somebody that had on
boots made in Oklahoma.
Boots made in Clinton, Oklahoma.
And the fatigues.
Yeah. You know, and they were really nice. Still are. They still use them. They were heavy duty, and the heavy duty nice thing is the briars and stuff going through the jungle.
Whatever happened to that supply sergeant?
He did get caught, and he was gone. I don't know what happened to him, but this was a very common deal.